everyone. This is Marcia McMahon, host of the Peaceful Planet radio show, coming to you live from BBS Radio. We have a very special show today, and you were just listening to, by the way, The Peaceful Planet, the song written by Bob Murray, who receives this information from the other side, from John Lennon. And the song is written by John Lennon, and I have his words, and Bob created the song synthesized. So all of the music that you hear here on BBS Radio is like none other, because we are working with inspired material from spirit through the gracious mediumship of Bob Murray. And he's available online. You can hear his music for free at 3wsthestarsstillshine.com. And I highly encourage you to check out his website. So again, welcome to the Peaceful Planet. This is show host Marcia McMahon, and we are doing a very special feature show on the Divine Feminine and the Da Vinci Code, the truth about Mary Magdalene and her relationship with Jesus. And we're going to be exploring it from a vast array of viewpoints, starting with scholarly viewpoints and an analysis of the Last Supper. I myself, in addition to being an author of books that I have channeled with Princess Diana, am also working with other people in spirit, and I also teach art history for a college. And so I'm also bringing on a guest, Mattia Michelson, and she is a wonderful light worker and works with Archangel Michael and has brought through some very significant messages. Mattia, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful to have you, dear.
Thank you.
It's a great honor. So Mattia has some messages, and I do, but we will not be sharing the messages until the second half of the show, because we want to sort of lay the groundwork, as it were, for this this material that we have from Spirit, and talk a little bit about various components of the Da Vinci Code. And we also are opening up our phone lines to anyone that would like to ask for a free reading. Mattia does readings through Archangel Michael. I do readings through the angels, the heavenly hosts. I hear from them. And our phone line, for any of you listeners out there, is 1-877-876-5227. So as we begin the program, we will go ahead and start. I will start covering some of the topics I want to get to in terms of art history and the Last Supper, and then if we have any callers, we'll interrupt our discussion of analysis of various extant things, the Da Vinci masterpiece, as it were. So I'd like to delve right into that. Leonardo da Vinci was a very mysterious person to begin with, and he created the Last Supper as a fresco experiment. It's not truly a fresco because he used oil paint on wet plaster, which generally was never done up until that point. Usually a fresco consists of wet paint on wet plaster, usually egg tempera. So he created it in oil, and then it began to chip away. It's been beautifully restored now, and it still exists in the same place it was created, in Milan, Italy. The masterpiece was created in 1495 through 1497 in Milan, northern Italy, and it was done for the refractory of Santa Maria delle Grazie, and it, of course, is the subject of the Da Vinci Code, and it is brilliantly analyzed in the book and the movie. Now, when I was first reading the book, The Da Vinci Code, by Dan Brown, I was totally taken up with his theory that that was not St. John the Divine sitting next to Jesus at the Last Supper table, but in fact the idea of Mary Magdalene. And I was reading the book, and I was up late at night, and I had to actually go to my art history text and look again. And what I saw, and I don't know if this is true for you, Mattia, also, but I looked and I saw again that that is really not, that could not be a man sitting next to Jesus. That is a woman. That does hold some water for the theory. And then the movie gets into the idea that Mary was the the holy vessel or the cup, and it is noteworthy if you look at the Da Vinci masterpiece, The Last Supper, it is noteworthy to notice that there is no chalice. And, you know, these were things that were never, ever brought out to the light of reason even before. So I thought the theory was brilliantly constructed by Dan Brown, and I know some of this was borrowed from Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and there was a lawsuit in London that ensued over this. They claimed that he took the ideas, but he simply defended himself and said that this was a work of fiction. But, you know, upon closer examination, I was just literally astounded when I looked at the work by Da Vinci, which I had studied all my life and taught all my life. And I have to admit that I noticed before that the figure to the left of Jesus at the Last Supper, Dan Brown is claiming is Mary Magdalene, I thought that that was a very effeminate version of St. John. But you know, now that I look at it in this new light, I have to honestly say that it couldn't be anything but a woman. And so then he developed the idea of the holy cup being the V shape, and that being a symbol for the sacred feminine, and that does fit in with the many triangle shapes. Also, Jesus is in a perfect triangle, and the empty space between the two of them, as she is leaning to her right, and Jesus is sitting perfectly in the center of the masterpiece, and so you have this, you do have a V shape. You do have a sacred vessel, a cup, the symbol that he explores for the sacred feminine. So then there are other symbols throughout the painting. Leonardo loved symbolism, and when he called it the Da Vinci Code, I don't know if many people realize this, but the actual use of the term code relates to Leonardo's writing, because Leonardo was a very secretive person. He was a genius, and he invented many things, including flying machines and cannons and all kinds of military things. And to protect his copyright, as it were, he put everything in mirror code. So he developed a way of writing that was only visible by using a mirror. And so it is true that he had many codes. And the way that he painted the various disciples and apostles at the Last Supper, they're all caught up in the moment when Jesus reveals that one of you will betray me. And the betrayer is seated about four people down from Jesus, and Judas is holding a kind of a, he's clutching a bag of silver, and that is he's looking away from Christ. So there is a lot of symbolism anyway in the painting. But it's amazing to me that no one ever put this theory out before, and that this is coming to light now. And I think that there are so many other very interesting biblical finds that are coming to light right now that we cannot ignore. And it all beautifully weaves into a very tantalizing theory. And that is the greatness of the Da Vinci Code. But I think we need to look further than the Da Vinci Code to our own hearts and our own minds for the truth. So I'd like to then explore a little bit more with you about some biblical scholarship that also figures into the Da Vinci Code, and the possibilities are just about endless. There is something known as the Nag Hammadi Text and Library, Nag Hammadi, N-A-G-H-A-M-M-A-D-I. And this contains early Christian Gnostic texts. And the Gnostic texts were discovered in about 1945 in an Egyptian town called Nag Hammadi by some Bedouin boys, similar to the Dead Sea Scrolls. But what is really interesting about these finds is that there is a Gospel of Mary, and there is also a Gospel of Thomas. Now, the Gospel of Thomas, these are extant writings, in other words, non-canonical. They never made it into the biblical canon, and there are reasons for that, and I'm going to explore that in just a moment. But the Hammadi Library houses numerous books, including the writings of Plato and many other different translations of things that were, before this, never exposed. So I always say to my art students, and this is quite true, this is a time for many archaeological discoveries to be coming to light, and this is a time for truth, truths that are unknown, to be coming to light and to be redefined and retranslated in this current time. We have the blessing of computers, which can share vast amounts of knowledge very quickly through, you know, just Googling. And then we also have, you know, the benefit of spirit, and so many of us are now attuned to spirit, such as Mattia and myself. And I had a delightful and utterly stunning surprise yesterday when I was doing my research on the Nag Hammadi, because I was only planning to put Mattia on, say, midway through the program and let her read her messages from Archangel Michael about this very tantalizing subject. But lo and behold, I was contacted by spirit, by both Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary. So I will be sharing those messages later. Getting back to Nag Hammadi, it was written in Coptic and originally thought to have been written in the Greek. And these are Gospels that were never, ever published in the Bible, and they were never included in the Bible. The two most famous being the Gospel of Thomas, which is a collection of sayings of the Master Jesus during his lifetime, written by the disciple Didymus Thomas, and then the Gospel of Mary, thought to have been written by Mary Magdalene herself, who took refuge in Egypt, or so it is said, after the crucifixion. And so this Mary, in the Catholic traditions anyway, was thought to have been a penitent Mary, Mary of Egypt. But now, with all the recent discoveries, it seems more likely that this was, in fact, Mary Magdalene. And in these Gospels, the general sayings of Jesus are featured in the Gospel of Thomas, and some of them refer to Jesus and Mary as having a closer, intimate friendship, and also there is a reference to Mary Magdalene being in an argument with Peter, the founder of the Christian church, and there is a revelation that happens to Mary where she receives a vision of Jesus after his death, and he conveys the messages to her. And this is recorded in the Gospel of Thomas, and then Andrew, one of the disciples, argues with her and says, this is another teaching, Mary. This doesn't have any place in our teaching, sort of. So that this possibly could have been a reason why this particular gospel was rejected by the church, the early church fathers. But as we wind down in history and we look further from the, say, the time that these ancient documents were written, about 300 A.D., about 390 A.D., they're convened the Council of Nicaea. And this was convened for the specific purpose of unifying all of the different doctrines that were flying around at the time of the early Christians. And, of course, this couldn't have happened without the blessing of Constantine, who was a Roman ruler who converted to Christianity and allowed the worship of the Christian worship and the idea of Jesus. But Jesus was not regarded as divine until the Council of Nicaea. So that was something that was slightly changed, perhaps, from the Master's original teaching. There were other teachings that were thoroughly taken out of the early Gospels, one of them being reincarnation. And I'm referencing, in this case, the work of Dr. Joshua David Stone from the IM University, because in one of his writings, and he has many, many books, he states that he has actually seen the document that removed reincarnation at the Council of Nicaea. And when he says seen, I'm thinking that he probably means he's seen it psychically, because that document, if it exists at all, would be hidden away at the Vatican somewhere. And you could be sure that that would not be for public consumption. So they came up with unified thinking, and in so doing, in desiring a unity doctrine and teaching, they got rid of Gnosticism. And much of Gnosticism is based on the idea of the spirit being beautiful and whole and the body not being whole or beautiful. And so some of this dualism was present in Gnosticism. But I also think that these arguments that existed as they are recorded in the Gospel of Thomas between Mary and Peter and the authority of the church has been an ongoing struggle in history. And therefore, there were other things that were taken out and other things that happened in the course of history that further suppressed even our memory of Mary Magdalene and who she was as a person. So she's interpreted in the Bible today and thought of in traditional thinking as having been a harlot, but this is all being reexamined in light of the Da Vinci Code, and it is well worth considering that that is possibly not the case at all. So then we go from the documents at Nag Hammadi, which were written in Coptic, and look at the sayings. Some of the sayings of Jesus are just phenomenal and almost have a very New Age kind of ring today. So there is a great deal that you can pick up online, and I am getting a lot of my information from Wikipedia, but you can pick it up from Elaine Pagel, from the Gnostic Gospels. You can type in Gospel of Thomas, et cetera, and you will get, I picked up something from the Gnostic Society Library called the Nag Hammadi Library in the Gospel of Thomas, and they go over all the Gospels. So Jesus has some various sayings, and they all have a very similar sound to Gospel writings, but they are drastically different, and so this was edited out of the original canon. Once these scriptures, interestingly enough, were edited from the canon in about 390 A.D., and the arguments were very heated and debated for many years before the canon was established, and these were all, you know, the early church bishops from various places in the ancient world, and they were convening at Nicaea. And once these documents were edited out, they were still in existence at the ancient library at Alexandria. Well, Alexandria was a repository for some of the greatest material known to man. All of the existing records of the ancient world and the seven ancient wonders of the world, Alexandria held everything. And the library at Alexandria, Egypt, was pretty much sponsored and built by Alexander the Great. And then many, many documents from all over the world were housed there. All the existing portions of the Bible at the time, the Hebrew, the Coptic, the various languages, all of the ancient knowledge that, you know, about Atlantis and Lemuria and different things like that is also thought to have been housed there. Anyway, when these documents, which were revered by the Coptic Christian fathers, a lot of them were desert monks that kept Mary Magdalene's ancient scrolls and the Gospel of Thomas. And when these were declared to be non-canonical or heresies, as it were, heresy in those days was published or was punished by death. So people would simply be killed if they believed anything contrary to what the early church fathers said. So basically, the church fathers that were guarding these documents removed them from the library at Alexandria and placed them in jars, in large clay jars, and put a lid on top and put them out in the desert. And they knew that, you know, they would be in big trouble and possibly killed, so they had no choice but to remove the documents from the library at Alexandria. But then, interestingly, in time, what happened to the library at Alexandria was that it was accidentally burned to the ground. So these documents came to us by virtue of these Bedouin boys who were looking to dig a well and started digging and found these earthen jars, and then they began selling them on the black market. Well, eventually, and in time, from 1945 till about 50, the people in Egypt, the antiquities people of the Egyptian Museum at Cairo, got wind of this and began buying these from these shepherd boys, and the whole thing was uncovered. But there was still one missing part of the document that was difficult to recover, because that was purchased and planned to give to Carl Jung, or Sigmund Freud, as a gift on his birthday, which it was. And then after that, the all of the existing documents, of which there are quite a few codexes here, all of them are now housed back at the Nag Hammadi Library, and they're all in existence. But the only one that's totally complete is the Gospel of Thomas. But the Gospel of Mary is Mary Magdalene writing about the teachings of the Master Jesus. So this is all very fascinating material. And it's worth considering that there is a great deal of good that Dan Brown has done by writing his very fascinating novel, and bringing the idea of the holy bloodline, the divine feminine, the repression of the Catholic Church, and of course he gets into Opus Dei, which we're not going to even go there today. We've got plenty more to examine. Do we have any callers out there that might like a reading from myself, Marcia, or from Mattia Michelson? We are open, and we are working with spirit today. There's a few other items that I'd like to discuss about some of the theories put forth in the Da Vinci Code. And I want to talk about this, and I also want to bring in Mattia Michelson, and I'm going to read to you her bio. And then, Mattia, if you have any comments or anything at all that you'd like to say about what I'm talking about, you're perfectly welcome to come into this discussion. I'm still going to be discussing this for about 10 more minutes. I am Mattia Michelson. I'm a representative of Archangel Michael. My mission is to help the light workers and starseeds in cooperation with Archangel Michael, who will assist them in understanding their personal missions and contracts with the spiritual hierarchy, and in opening the galactic prosperity gateway while fulfilling their missions. This will help them to move on in their personal development and reconnect with their soul families and their I Am presence. Most people know they are here for a reason, and the information I help to bring forth assists in explaining that reason. So welcome, Mattia. It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Fine. Great. Nice day here in Montana.
I know. It's
we have
beautiful.
A caller.
It's just beautiful here.
We have a caller. Do you want me to put him on?
Oh, sure.
Okay, it'll take me about 5 seconds. I'll be on in a few seconds.
Hello?
On the air, caller.
Hello, caller. Hello. Welcome to Peaceful Planet. Are you there?
I guess they're gone.
I guess they chickened out.
Sorry about that.
Well, if you lost the connection, or you just suddenly decided that you didn't want a reading after all, you're welcome to call back, or you can also email me, and I will do readings at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. That's my email. And if you had a question and you'd like to email it, I can read it next week for you. So please feel free to call back if you lost the connection.
They just called back. I'll put it back on.
Hello, caller?
Okay. Hello?
Hi. Welcome to Peaceful Planet.
Pardon?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just great. Did you call with a question? Were you wanting a reading, or did you have a
question? I was just wanting a reading, if I could.
Okay. Could you give me your name, please?
My name is Sandy.
Sandy? All right. Did you have a specific question, Sandy?
No, I was just sort of wondering if what my purpose was.
Okay. Makia, I'm going to throw that to you if you're feeling the spirit.
Okay.
Because you work with people and their purposes.
Okay, give me a second here. Sandy, part of why you have come is to fulfill, like, a mission from your soul group who craved experience in the third dimensional world. This soul group comes from a very ethereal planet with little physicality. Everything is, I'm just seeing, like, cloud-like. So there's very little hard surfaces or touching, and they wanted to experience what it would be like to live in a third dimensional world. So in essence, you're fulfilling this experience for all of them, for what each member of a soul group experiences, all will have access to. Part of your function here is to ground also this energy from this distant world that assists other people to look beyond this reality that they see. So, in essence, you're like a trigger. As you go about your life and your world, the energy that your soul and your group contain trigger memories and information that certain people need to activate their personal missions and their personal plans. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because I always say, you know, there's others out there. They all look at me like I'm crazy. And then when they're on, when I watch a show, like on the History Channel, they try to discount the other people out there. And I think that there are ancestors, and I just turn it off because I'm so upset that they would do that.
Well, don't get upset with them. That's part of your test. Your function is to just say your truth, and then let these seeds be planted in their head, because sometimes it takes years for people to take that idea and let it be nurtured. Don't try to sway them to your opinion. You know you're right, and God knows you're right, but it'll take time for others.
Is that why I feel like they're my family? I always feel like they're my ancestors out there.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could you speak up a bit?
She said that she feels they're ancestors out there.
That they're my ancestors.
Oh, okay.
And that I want to meet them. And people say, but you can see on the, you know, movies that they're evil. And I said, that's the movie. They're not evil. But but that's what I do. I don't know.
I think that's true. I mean, I completely confirm what you're saying and feeling, and I love the reading. Mattia, you take it from here.
They're just suggesting, and this is your soul group now, they're just suggesting to you to practice more unconditional love and to be the example to other people. Don't necessarily try to make them see things your way, for all will come back to God in their own time. But by being the living example and practicing as much unconditional love as you can in your daily walk, this does more for the validity of your existence than anything else.
Oh, then I think I'm doing the right thing. Okay, I was a little concerned about that. Well, thank you so much. I know I'm on the right path.
Good.
God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a great week, you guys.
Mattia, that was such a right-on reading. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for validating.
Uh-huh. Well, that was great. I mean, you hit it right on the head there, dear. And that is great. I want to go back to the idea of the Jesus bloodline that is described in the Da Vinci Code. And basically that is the theory that Jesus Christ had a natural child with Mary Magdalene, which was then taken to France. And the young child grew and later was part of the family dynasty was known as the Merovingian dynasty, a long name for a group of French kings. And when I was reading the Da Vinci Code the first time, I went to Google and I typed in Merovingian, spelled M-E-R-O-V-I-N-G-I-A-N, and up comes all this stuff about the Jesus bloodline. And it's fascinating what a good search engine will do for you these days. I mean, really. So I was totally enraptured with this idea and found myself very resistant to these ideas.
We have another caller.
Oh, good. Okay. Great. Hello?
Hold on. It takes me about 5 seconds to get them on.
Thank you, Don.
You bet.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Oh, good. Oh, how can I help you?
I just kind of wanted a general reading.
Okay, can you give me your name?
Talila.
Say it again.
Talila.
How do you spell that?
T-H-A-L-I-L-A.
Talila.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any question at all? One preponderance of any particular sort?
Nothing. No, I don't have anything specific.
Okay. Mattia, are you picking up anything?
No, I kind of got a sense that one might be for you.
It's for
me. Getting anything?
Yeah, I am. I'm getting the image of an apple, and I'm taking that to mean that this is an issue regarding prosperity, and that you might be in the situation of a job change, or having questions about career or abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And that because I'm seeing this very large apple, and that's all I'm getting for you, Talila, this is what Spirit is giving me. So I'm going to say it's very big. So whatever it is that's coming your way, it's something really big and really important. And just be on the lookout for something good in the next 3 months or so. And with that, I'm going to say God bless you. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds just right, actually. I'm starting college in the fall, and I was just looking for a job. So
okay, all right. Well, very good then. You're on a new path that is going to lead somewhere. Of course, the apple is the symbol of teaching. I'm a teacher too. I teach art history. So there you go. You're going to be a good student. Good luck to you, dear.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
All right. Bye now. All right, and now we're getting back to the idea of the Jesus bloodline in France and the Merovingian dynasty, which is where we left off. And, boy, if you haven't explored this one online, you really should look into it, because I highly encourage our listeners to do their own search. Search your own heart and do your own web search and come up with some of this stuff, because it's just absolutely fascinating. Now, there was this man, Pierre Plantard, in the 1960s, who was a French royalist, and he put out the idea that he actually was carrying the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And this was widely denounced and totally lampooned and thought to, now it's totally dismissed as a fraud. But is it a fraud? But is it a fraud? Because the Merovingians were, you know, very secretive, and they ruled France from about 700 to about 900 A.D., and they had a wide succession, one after another. These were the French kings, and they were always somehow at odds with the Roman Church and the Vatican, always at odds. And their last successor was brutally murdered in open daylight. They stabbed him in the eye, if you can imagine anything so cruel, and this was the last of this person. So, I mean, always with the Merovingians, there's mystery. And they were, basically, the Catholic Church attempted to completely wipe them out. So does the Catholic Church know something that they're not admitting to? I think so. I think it's very interesting that there was this power struggle. You see, this would represent Mary carrying the bloodline of Jesus and having a natural leadership through family ties and the leadership that was established, so-called established leadership of the Catholic Church through a succession of bishops, which then, of course, became the Bishop of Rome or the Pope and the papacy and all of that. And then we get into other things that are equally controversial, like the issue of celibacy, because everybody assumed up until this point in time, I think, except for these secret societies, that Jesus himself was celibate. And this, I think, is not the case. So it's very interesting that Jesus' bloodline is a theory, and it is worked out very brilliantly in The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, and the movie is equally captivating. There's just so much to cover when looking at all of the facts and looking at all of the persecutions of various interesting sects in the Middle Ages. There are two others that I want to mention. Besides the Merovingian, which is very linked to the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar, there were only nine of them. The Knights were sent to Jerusalem on the First Crusade, and they were supposedly sent there to protect travelers to the Holy Land and to liberate Jerusalem, which they did, by the way. Jerusalem was controlled and under Muslim influence at that time, and they regained Jerusalem, and they did some digging. It is documented history that they went in and dug under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and uncovered some very interesting material, but nobody knows what that material was. And I know a good friend of mine, Carolyn Evers, has written a book in which she remembers a past lifetime as a Templar Knight and talks about this in her book. So, Carolyn, Mattia, have you read Carolyn's book on the various people that speak from spirit?
I've read several of her books, but I didn't read the one about the Templars.
Okay.
But she's just now getting some new information, which we'll have in three parts in our newsletter, our monthly newsletter that comes out in the middle of the month. So she's getting a lot of information on the Templars because she did live that lifetime. It's very interesting.
Yes, it is, because I read her book, and I'm not remembering the title of the book at the moment. It'll come to me. But in any event, Percival, I think, was the name of one of the people that she remembers, and that was a Templar Knight. Anyway, maybe that was a Cathar. The Templars and the Cathars are linked to the idea of the Jesus bloodline, because the Templars defended the idea of the Holy Grail. Well, what is the Holy Grail? That is the whole topic of the Da Vinci Code. Is the Holy Grail really Mary Magdalene and not the chalice that Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper?
I have something interesting that has come through several of the readings that I do on Templars.
Please chime in.
Several people that I have read for, and I have no way to back this up except for sometimes confirming with Carolyn, that part of the Order of the Templars, there was a special branch called the Order of the Rose. And these Templars were specifically trained to guard the family members of the bloodline through the period in history to protect the family. And one of them was actually an instructor of the family during the Renaissance period. So I was utterly fascinated with that and asked Carolyn about it, and
mm-hmm.
she confirmed that, yes, some of the duties were to guard the bloodline.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was just getting to with the Knights Templar. Their express duty, one of their secret duties, was to guard the Merovingian bloodline, exactly. And they were from France. And then what they did is that they mysteriously went to Jerusalem. They uncovered something in the temple. They were digging and digging. They went to Rome with it, and Rome bona fide their order. They said the Knights Templar were it. They were it. And they walked away with great riches from Rome, too. Did you know that?
No.
But I mean, what you got, Mattia, is something so interesting, because this idea of the Order of the Rose, I think that's explored also with the Da Vinci Code in the movie and the book. I think that is mentioned and then that would follow up much later with the Roslyn Chapel in England. So there are, yeah, that is fascinating that came through in a reading, because so much of what we're getting from spirit now is so, so accurate, and it is great to draw these parallels together, you know. But I'd be interested in, you know, hearing more about that. I suppose Carolyn will feature that on her show. And to our listeners, Carolyn's show is coming right after this show, so stay tuned. I don't think she's covering the Templars next, but she has a lot of good information, and she's a very good person.
Yeah, actually, we got specific information from Archangel Michael on how he wanted that information disseminated.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Well, I look forward to hearing that. I will tune in to The Messenger then, which is next after my show. So
I don't believe she's discussing that yet.
No, not yet. I know this is not the topic for her show this time, but I'm going to tune in for sure.
Yeah,
it is
too.
A great show. By the way, you know, I discovered Carolyn. Carolyn and I have been friends for a couple of years, and when I was doing my old show, The Forum for World Peace, I had Carolyn on a couple of times, and her material is really magnificent, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I would say that Viva Papa for me was life-changing.
Was it really?
Yeah. When I read that book, suddenly Archangel said that he wanted certain graphics designed so that people have a hard time visualizing in their head in our society because of TV and movies. So he had me design some graphics based on some of the messages that were in her book.
Well, you know, your graphics are magnificent.
Oh,
I was at your website, which is thecrystalpyramid.com, is that correct?
Yes.
And she's got this beautiful crystal pyramid with a couple of angels there. Is
that's Archangel Michael and Faith.
Oh, okay. Faith and Michael, and they're kind of part of the divine feminine and the divine masculine, right? That's
yes.
What we're talking about on the show. You know, the whole idea, I want to pause for a moment and just examine in general what is the divine feminine, and I give you kind of my working definition as I understand what it to be. I feel that the divine feminine is not so much a person as in personified in Mary Magdalene, but the divine feminine is an essence of the divine creator God, and it is kind of like, if you will think of the yin and yang, the black and white, in black and white, the divine feminine fits into the divine masculine and in a harmonious way. And for the past 2,000 years, we've been living through the so-called Piscean Age, symbolized by the fish and Christianity as it was passed down to us. And now that we're uncovering these errant mistakes that were made in the early days of Christianity based on a patriarchal society, a lot of this is bringing to light the idea that, yes, in fact, I think the divine feminine has been largely ignored and women have been demonized. And I don't know if it was your message, Mattia, or Carolyn's, but in a message that I saw recently on Lady Isis's Daily Cup of Inspiration newsletter, it seemed like Michael was saying that 5.7 million women in the Middle Ages were put to death for being accused of witchcraft. Was that something that you...
No, that was probably something that Carolyn put through.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, there you go. I mean, St. Joan of Arc, whom I also have heard from, St. Joan was receiving information from spirit that helped her to liberate France, and it was entirely accurate, and, you know, there's just no way it could have been witchcraft. St. Joan was extremely devout as a Catholic, and basically, you know, the whole idea, the very idea that a woman could be intuitive, that a woman could be receptive to spirit, that a woman could channel, that a woman could get visions, etc., was totally threatening to the church hierarchy, because their idea is that that only males can be priests, and this still exists in the Catholic Church, and still pretty much strong in the Protestant Church. I've been a member of both of these churches, and I'm not knocking the church per se at all. I'm just saying it like it is. Their idea is that only the priest is the mediator between yourself and the divine, and now that we have so many people who are light workers who are open to receiving spirit directly, it kind of eliminates the need for the priest and the need for the intermediary and the need for confession and all these other, you know, sort of medieval ideas. And so it's very threatening to them to allow, you know, to allow this. So a lot of these more fundamentalist churches and the Catholic Church in particular are putting out huge PR campaigns to stomp this out, these notions of heresy, of the divine feminine, stomp it out for good. But even nuns that, you know, are participating in the Catholic Church have been struggling for years to try to gain rights to the priesthood. So the truth is that it's very possible that Mary Magdalene was a leader in the early church and an apostle and the chief apostle, and that was even taken out. But was it deliberate? That's another issue, because I want to say that I think that this happened as a result of a patriarchal society at the time, and I also think that there was a great deal of persecution of the early Christians, and that so much of this was done underground in the first 300 years, anyway, of the Christian worship, that things were lost in the translation from the Greek to the Coptic to the Latin and so on. And not only were things lost, but women in particular in the early church, we do know that they had leadership positions. And so now we're coming into a whole new age where women are basically being ordained in mainline churches. But those of us that are doing light work are receiving so much information from Spirit at this time, and we now understand that the divine feminine is something that's available to all of us, whether we receive channeled information or not, whether we simply participate in meditation. It's high time, I think, that these religions got with it and allowed women to participate. But that being said, I'm not a big fan of religion anymore, because I don't know about you, Mattia, but I've been highly persecuted by my old home churches that will not allow any of this in the church.
It goes for me, it's always gone by feeling. I was raised in the Greek Orthodox Church, which was one with the Catholic Church at one point.
Right,
and
yeah.
I think from the time of being a child, it was like, it's just not here. It just doesn't sound right or feel right.
Mm-hmm, I know. Well, you know, I had served some other churches, Protestant churches, in my adult life and greatly enjoyed them while I was doing it. This is many, many years ago. I'm not a current member of any church at the moment. I occasionally attend the spiritualist church, and I don't have too much use for religion, because religion has no use for my messages. and Jesus gave me a message on that, which is posted on my website for anyone who wants to check that out. My website is dianaspeakstotheworld.com, and I specialize in messages from Princess Diana, who also, by the way, has a message on the Divine Feminine. But I'm not sure we're going to get to all these messages. Let's see, where are we? Oh, my goodness. We are needing to go directly to the messages. If you could do that, I'd like to read mine, and I'd like you to read yours from Mary and Magdalene. And your archangel message, and I'm going to read the one I have from Mary Magdalene, which is very telling, and then I'd like you to share your messages, and then we're going to have to conclude. We're already out of time. Oh, my goodness. This is a message I received from Mary Magdalene yesterday. I was doing my research. Dear Mary, you came to me last night in prayer and meditation. Is there anything you wish to say about your relationship to Jesus? This is Mary Magdalene speaking. My child and friend, it is true of our romantic relationship. I was the woman who sat at the feet of the Master Yeshua, described in your Bible as the house of Martha and Mary. I was receptive to him, and fell in love with the Master Yeshua. We held a friendship for many years before our romance blossomed, shortly before the crucifixion. Those were both wonderful and terrible days. I gave birth to the child of Jesus, named her Sarah, and raised her in Egypt and then in France. Because of the fiery persecution of all followers of Christ or Yeshua in the Roman Empire, or Gaul, as France was known then, our identity was a secret to all but a select few. Sarah was my sunshine child and my consolation in losing the love of my life, my husband, Jesus, Yeshua. She provided for me an outlet of joy. I did write down the teachings of the Master recorded in my Gospel. However, that book has been distorted also by the Church Fathers. I am of the Divine Feminine, and I speak with compassion about the power of the Sacred Feminine. It was the mission of the Master Yeshua to bring me to leadership in our circles, which did occur with the apostles who supported me. It was later removed, and my memory denigrated to that of a harlot. Call upon me for strength, compassion, and for help in childbirth. My sacred bloodline exists even today in France and England, and I leave you with this thought. History is told by the ones who control power. Look again within yourselves to the kingdom of God's goddess within for truth. My love to all who hear and recognize me, Mary of Magdalene. What a beautiful message. Mattia, could you bring forth some of your messages?
I'll go ahead and read the one that Sananda, known as Jesus, and Archangel Michael did on the Da Vinci Code, since we're getting
wonderful.
Short of time.
Yes, thank you, dear. We have 5 more minutes.
Okay. The Da Vinci Code, it is a work the author contracted to complete to assist the people of the world open their minds, challenge traditional belief systems, and bring forth more truth of what transpired at that time. When studying Jewish history, most historians have found it more unusual that Jesus was not married at his age at that time in Jewish history. In addition, Jewish tradition only allowed the wife or family members to go to the tomb, and that is why first contact was with Magda, or Mary Magdalene. As his wife, this was permissible. There is much controversy in your society as the Jesus you understand in the Christian religions of today has in essence been remade and the teachings of the Master altered by many who wrote of him but never met or learned his teachings firsthand. The closest book of truth of what was said by him is the original Gospel of St. Thomas. The patriarchal fathers wanted control of the people through religion and debased Lady Magda and turned her into a whore, while they rewrote the Master's teachings to suit their need for power and control. It was a way of debasing the mother and negating the woman's role in the Piscean Age. They also altered many of the original teachings, combining them with pagan rituals and beliefs of the time to bring more people to Christianity. And this is what we see today. There is little truth in today's teachings of Christianity, which was just an extension of the Jewish religion. Celibacy is something that the Catholic Church added to the Christian doctrine hundreds of years after Jesus walked the earth and led the people to believe they needed a priest or intercessor to speak with God, thus increasing the power the Church had over people. So the Da Vinci Code is challenging many to move away from old belief systems within the Christian religion that have little basis in truth. For by simply questioning and asking if this is true, they open the door to move forward in the light. Those opposing this work and offended by it are just trying to keep Jesus as a separate special being, so that they do not have to look at the truth or accept responsibility for their path, making him a deity to worship rather than the way-shower he came to be. He is our elder brother, and we are all the sons and daughters of God, and he is showing us the way home. I encourage all to seek the truth for themselves and ask him personally for guidance and understanding in these matters.
That was really beautiful. I'd like you to read the other message if there's time. Go ahead.
We, Sister Magda and Sister Mary, are here every second for you. With all the attention on the Divine Feminine with the Da Vinci Code, we are asking for your attention for a few moments. Blessings, children of the Divine, for you are all divine in your true identity. This we wish for all to know and to accept the knowledge of that love that our Father, Mother, God has for us all, equally and unconditionally. For beloveds, we are an aspect of the Creator's Son, no different than you. We have just moved forward in evolution or awakened to the knowledge that we are one with God and His Son and are here to light the way as others lit the way for us in our time. I again emphasize, we are no different than you. In fact, you are part of us, and we work diligently now to bring the feminine energies to mankind. For the past age has been one of a patriarchal system, and it is time in the coming age for the masculine and feminine to blend and become one, leaving behind all of the duality, which is nothing more than opposites. For there are no opposites in the higher dimensions. Everything is constant. We wish to emphasize that all come from the Son of God, and all on earth, as well as the higher dimensions, are just a part of the Son, and our origins of creation are the same. We exemplify either the masculine, the action side of God's Son, or the feminine, which is the receptive side of God's Son. God's Son is not only Jesus, it is each and every living life form on earth. Jesus is the first one in this root race that figured out how to reconnect with God, setting the example to follow. But the teachings were changed to suit the ego or lower mind, and to control the people and keep the door to the higher dimensions inaccessible. So, beloveds, as Magda and I move forward in evolution, there are those of you preparing to take our positions in the spiritual hierarchy as you two move forward on the ladder of evolution. Take us off the pedestal and bring us into your life as sisters, mothers, and especially see us as a friend who is ever ready to aid and guide you in the smallest decisions and problems you have. Talk to us. See us holding your hand and walking with you through all your earthly trials, for we too have experienced all that you have and can show you the way. Every second of your life you must choose to live in heaven or hell. These are not physical places, and we will help you choose heaven, for it is all in what you believe and what you focus your attention on. When you stop focusing on darkness and fear, you leave hell, and when you focus on love, peace, and happiness, you are in heaven. All will change when you discipline the mind to stop thinking you are anything less than the Son of God who is loved and accepted unconditionally. We are there to help every second to assist you live in heaven on earth, for as there is no physical place called heaven, it is all in your mind and thoughts, and that which you are creating every second. You are loved more than you realize, sisters Mary and Magda.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And with that, we are ending this program. Please join us next week for another section of the Da Vinci Code with some other friends of mine. May God and Goddess bless you. Goodbye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.